Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. We have a great word to share with you today at Destiny Church. Sit back, be encouraged, and let's get into the word.
Happy Father's Day. Praise the Lord. James Earl Jones, better known as Darth Vader, said more and more, when I single out the one person who inspired me the most, I go back to my grandfather. And I really find that to be true in my life. I mean, dads are one thing, but being a grandfather now, oh man, grandfathers rule. Yeah. And I have two pictures of my grandfather I want to show you on my dad's side. This is my grandfather. His name is Arnie. And in that picture, he's playing this accordion, which I now own. If he were alive today, he'd be 115 years old. So that's my grandfather. His name is Arnie, no middle name, A-R-N-E. That's the license plate I have on my Jeep. And he taught me how to play. He taught me how to play music. And this is another photograph. This is the second guitar that I owned, again, playing with my grandfather. He was struggling to play Country Roads because typically he played Beer Barrel Polka and Roll Out the Barrel and nice polka songs. And that's my dad with the Blatz beer in his hand. And then this is my very first instrument.
Sing it, baby. Come on. Sing us a tune.
You want to hear a tune?
Yeah, let's hear a tune.
My first song that my grandfather taught me. 5'2", eyes are blue. 5'2", eyes are blue. But oh, what those 5 foot can do. Has anybody seen my gal? Turned up. There you go. So anyways. My grandfather was an awesome man. And so we're talking about dads and grandfathers today. I became a grandfather on March 2nd, 2016 with Davina Jean. Is Davina Jean in the room? Oh, they went to the back. Then again on February 4th, Liberty Lucia. And again in October of this year, I'll be a grandfather third time around. And I would appreciate any help you would give me in marshaling efforts to name that child Erica. So anything you could do there to help me, that would be appreciated. I absolutely love being a grandfather. And today's text is about fathers. And because it's a well-worn text, I wanted to read it to you in a version that you may not have heard before. In fact, as I read it this morning, I was quite moved. So would you just listen with me? I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. We may have it on the screen if it's in the message. That'd be great. Jesus said, there was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, I want right now what's coming to me. So the father divided the property evenly between them. And it wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. Spent all dad's money. After he had gone through all of his money, there was a bad famine in that land throughout the country, and he began to hurt. And he signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs, and he was so hungry that he would have eaten the corn cobs and the pig slop, but no one even gave him those. Verse 17. That brought him to his senses, and he said, all those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. And I will say to my father, I've sinned against God, and I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. And he got right up and he went to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, his heart pounding. He ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son started his speech. He said, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father wasn't listening. He was busy calling his servants. Quick, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him and put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then go get the grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead, but now alive. Given up for lost and now found. And they began to have a wonderful time. And all this time, his older brother was out in the field. When the day's work was done, he came in. And he approached the house. He heard the music and the dancing. Called over the houseboy, and he asked what was going on. And he told him, your brother, he's come home. Your father has ordered a feast, barbecued beef. Because he has him home safe and sound. The older brother stalked off in an angry sulk and refused to join in. His father came out and tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. The son said, look now, many years I've stayed here serving you, never giving you one moment of grief, but you have ever thrown a party for me and my friends? Mm-mm. Then this son of yours, who has thrown away your money on whores, shows up and you go out with a feast. His father said, son, don't you understand? You're with me all the time, and everything that is mine is yours. But this is a wonderful time. We had to celebrate. This brother, the brother of yours, was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. Father, we ask that these words would find a place of fertile soil in our heart today, to be encouraged, to be blessed by them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My father was born in 1937. He died 12 years ago. He was born in Bloomington, Illinois. His father, my grandfather, his name is Arnie, who taught me to play music, was born in 1905. My grandfather's dad, his name was Reverend Andreas Heinrich, born October 16th, 1865. Think that, Civil War. And he planted the Lutheran Church right outside of Bloomington in a town called Anchor, Illinois. I've actually been able to perform a wedding in my great-grandfather's church. Quite a bit of fun. My great-great-grandfather was also named Andreas. So my great-grandfather and my great-great-grandfather, he was named Andreas. He's the one who sent his son over the ocean to be a pastor. He was born in Weissach, Germany in 1865. My great-great-grandfather was also named Andreas. He was born in Weissach, Germany in 1819. My great-great-great-grandfather, also named Andreas Hahn, was born in Weissach, Germany in 1782. And my great-great-great-great-grandfather was born in 1762 in Weissach, Germany, and his name was Johann Sidrig. I don't know how many great-great-greats I got to go back, but sooner I end up with the greatest of all fathers, the good, good father. Or should we change the song from good, good father to great, great father? Because when we talk about grandfather, I'm not talking about the word that stuck together, grandfather. I'm talking about the grandest of fathers, the grandfather. So three things I quickly want to tell you about him, which are very near and dear to my heart, as I love this parable. Number one, he's grand because he ran. He's grand because he ran. In fact, if you open your Bible there to Luke chapter 15, you might want to just highlight these three verses because they're quite powerful. He's grand because he ran. If you remember, 7 years ago, Phillips, Craig, and Dean had a song at the top of the charts that says, he ran to me. He took me in his arms. He held my head to his chest and said, son, my son's come home again. He lifted my face. He wiped the tears from my eyes, and with forgiveness in his voice, he said, son, I still love you. He caught me by surprise when he ran. I'm going to introduce a word to you today that you may not be familiar with. It's called kazaza. It's a Hebrew word. K-A-Z-A. K-Z-A-H. Kazaza. Sounds just the way it looks, kazaza. This is a Hebrew word you may not be familiar with, but of course you probably would want to put it here in the column of your Bible after I tell you what it means. Kazaza was a Hebrew ritual that happened. The word kazaza literally means to cut off. And what would happen is, in this ritual, when a son would take the father's money and inheritance and squander it, particularly selling land or giving goods to people that were not Jewish, and then would return home to live in his parents' basement, right? I screwed my life up, but I'm home with my tail between my legs. The community would not allow it. And so what they would do is they would stand in front of this young man who came back into the village, and the ritual would be they would take a clay pot and they would throw it to the ground and they would smash it. And when they smashed it, they said and shouted the word kazaza, which means we cut you off. You've got no more standing in this village because of what you did to your dad. And you betrayed us in this community by squandering your inheritance. That's powerful. The phrase kazaza, and they would say, you are now cut off from your people, and the community would reject them. What else do we know about this story? We also know that men didn't run in the first century in Jewish tradition and during Jesus' time. It was not only not polite to run because you're wearing this long tunic, but it was inappropriate for a man to show his legs. That's why men had these tunics. So to run, what would you have to do? You'd have to hike that thing. Ladies, maxi dresses, 1978. Are you with me? Right? You'd hike that booger up so you could run, because you can't run very well when you got a maxi dress on. Isn't that what they call them? They call them maxi dressers? My sister, I remember my sister wearing one. Sorry, I'm back now. That was a weird moment. Men didn't run because they would have to hike their tunic up in order to do that, and to show their legs would be untasteful, would be inappropriate, and would be actually disgraceful. I mean, it's hard for us to get our mind around that, but we have to go back 2,000 years to get into the culture to understand that. They just didn't do it. So knowing those two things now, kazaza, and knowing that he ran to meet his son, here's the question. If it's shameful for a man to run in that culture, why did this father run to his son when he returned? What motivated him? What motivated himself to shame himself? Well, he ran because he loved his child. Yes, that's obvious. But also he ran, listen, in order to get to his son before the village would get to his son. The father runs to take the shame himself, to protect him from the verdict of his peers. Hebrew historians write this: the village would have seen the father running out to the village. They witnessed what had taken place, what took place at the edge of the village between the father and the son. After the village saw the love that the father had for the son, even though he had disgraced him, the emotional reuniting of the prodigal with his father, it was clear that there would be no kazaza ceremony that day, because the father had accepted the son back. As I thought about this, I remembered, and you may not be a Broadway musical kind of person, but if ever you've seen the musical Fiddler on the Roof, this just became alive to me when, I don't remember all the players' names, but Tevye was the dad, right? And he was all about tradition. And he had this little skinny little daughter, I forget her name, but she wanted to marry the tailor. And the tailor was a little skinny and kind of wiry himself. And he wasn't whom Tevye had pledged his daughter to, arranged marriage. So it all hits the fan when she and her boyfriend tell Tevye, we made a pledge to each other. She can't marry this guy that you have assigned her to. We actually love each other. Can we please have your blessing? And then it goes into this long, great, great conversation between Tevye and God, because he often breaks off from the rest of the group, and he just has a conversation with God, and he says, they made a pledge, my daughter. And he goes through all the machinations of what it is that he now has to renege. He has to pull back his word, his promise that he gave the butcher. That he gave his daughter to the butcher to be married. Now he has to go back on his word and face public humility and shame
for the love of his daughter.
And so after he has this moment with God, he turns and says, okay. In other words, I'll take the shame so that you can be happy. Powerful. That's the power of kazaza for you and me. God runs between you and your accusers and says, no. You can't. No, we're not going to have that here. Not today. I'm taking him. I'm taking her back home. They're mine. Why is he a grandfather? He's a grandfather because he ran. Secondly, he's a grandfather because he knew how to party. He celebrated. In Luke chapter 15, the son ran to him, "Father, I've sinned against you, even against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the robe, put it on him. Bring the family signet ring and the sandals, put it on him. Then bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let's have a feast and celebrate." In verse 24, it says, "So they began to celebrate good times." Come on. I'm locked in the 70s today, aren't I? Right. Cool in the gang. There's a party going on right here. A celebration to last throughout the year. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We gonna celebrate your party with you. Come on now. That's God. When my grandkids come to my house, it's a party. There's nothing serious happening in my house. No heavy-duty lessons. Why? Because I'm a grandfather. He's a good father, isn't he? In fact, where's Levi? I saw Levi today. There's Levi. Levi played guitar. Levi annually does a thing called Banquet of Honor, and that really comes out of this Luke chapter 14 and 15. If you've never really thought of this before, Luke chapter 14 and chapter 15. 15 is where we found the story of the lost son, the prodigal son. But we also find not only the prodigal son there, but the lost coin and the lost sheep. All of those happen there in Luke 15. Back it up before that, you have Luke chapter 14, where the whole rule is go out to the highways and byways. Heaven, the kingdom of God is like a party. The kingdom of God is like a wedding feast. The king, listen, look up here. The kingdom, watch this. The kingdom of God is like a party. You didn't get that in confirmation class. I didn't get that in confirmation class. I got that from right here, Luke chapter 14 and Luke chapter 15. Every time something that was lost got discovered, the Lord stepped in, said, "We're not having any reproach here. We're not having any kazaza happening here today. My son, my daughter is lost. It's time to celebrate. It's time to party." Luke chapter 14 and 15, all that those chapters are about is God celebrating your return. He's a grandfather. And number three, he's a grandfather because he reminds us all the time that all he has is ours. In verse 31, he says, "My son," the father said, "you've always been with me." And this is what he tells him, "Everything I have is yours." Davina's old enough to understand. She's my oldest granddaughter. She's 4. Liberty is getting there. She's turning 2 this 4th of July. But Davina has gotten her mind around this and she understands it. Not every time she come over, but nearly every time she comes over to my house and she wants to touch something. And my daughter, she just rails at me like this because I allowed Davina to touch things Hannah never could touch. She says, "You live in a museum. All the things in your house are breakable and they're from foreign lands and they're beautiful things and I could never touch it." I said, "Well, that's different because now I'm a grandfather. Before I was just a father. But now I'm a good father. I'm a grandfather." And I tell Davina, when she says, "Can I touch that?" I always say, "Davina, everything I have is yours." I tell her this, "Everything I have is yours. Now just be a good steward of it." Hey, be a good steward. She wanted to come up and she saw this as soon as she came in this morning. These are in my music cabinet and she wanted to play it. Absolutely. Would I have let Hannah play with it? Yeah, I don't know, maybe not. In fact, over a weekend or so ago, as a side note, I have this, it was a beautiful little egg that opened up. Inside it was a Scotty, the dog, a little itty bitty Scotty that I bought in Scotland when I was there. Just absolutely, and it got broken. It got broken. Oh, Liberty did it? Okay, that's okay. No problem. Liberty's understanding that everything in the house is hers. She can touch anything. She just has to be careful with it. But she broke it. And before anybody could put scorn on her, anybody could do kazaza, I stepped in and said, wait a second, that's my granddaughter. I know she broke that. She didn't mean it was, maybe she even meant to do it, but it's okay. I still love her. Come on, granddads. Come on, dads. If you're just a father right now, you got the first half of the equation. Grandfathers understand this. There's something happens to you. Your brain gets washed with something called love, not just discipline. Okay. So everything I have is yours. Jesus actually said it, if you don't know, in John 17:10, he said, all I have is yours. That's just not in a parable. That's just not in Luke chapter 15. Jesus actually says that in red letters to you and to me. He says, all I have is yours, John 17:10. So I had a song for point number one. That was Phillips, Craig, and Dean, God Ran. I had a song for point number two, the God Likes to Party, Celebration. So I need a song for this third point, that all I have is yours. So the best songbook ever written is in the Bible. It's called the Book of Psalms. So the third song I have for you is from Psalms 16, verse number 5 through 8. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. I don't know how the melody went, but these are great lyrics. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. What does that mean? That means all I have is yours. This song, I got it. I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me even at night. My heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Number one, he's a grandfather. Why? Because he ran. Number two, he's a grandfather because he celebrated. He celebrated your return and my return. And he's a grandfather because he reminds us that all he has is ours. He's a grandfather because he takes our shame. He parties when we return, and he daily reminds us that all we have is his. So what is it that he has that is also ours? Healing, salvation, strength, wisdom, provision. Do you need that? My daughter, last night, she asked me for something. I didn't think twice about it. She says, could I please have something? She asked me for something. I'm like, yes. Why didn't I even think to give that before you asked? Because before everything I have is Davina's, everything I have is Hannah's. That's, and I'm not a really good father. We have a good father. We have a great father. We have a grandfather. All, and he knows what you have need of even before you ask. What do you need? You need healing? You need deliverance from a besetting sin? You need provision? Do you need a new job? What's going on with your life? All, listen, don't be the complaining son at home. When you see some new person in the Lord get saved and God's answering their prayer right and left, and you're boo-hoo-hoo because God doesn't answer your prayer, don't be that one. Be thankful. He says to you, all that I have is yours. What is it that you need? So you can ask, but since he's a good father, he knows better than you whether or not that's good for you. Because when I got my mind around this, when I first got saved, it was like, wait a second, I need $1 million. That's what I need. That's what I thought to myself. You just ask it and you shall receive, right? So the Bible. So I ask. But when you ask with the wrong motive, when you ask with all kinds of craziness going on in your heart, God says, wait a second. Let's just hold it up there. God knows what you need. So you go to him. Please, go to him today. Just bow your head with me. Father, we come to you right now in one of two categories. First, we're the prodigal. We're away from you. We're out spending our inheritance, and we have not done that so well. And so we come to ourselves in this moment, and we say, I got to go back home to Father. Even if I have to be a servant, I got to go. But I'm telling you in advance that he's a grand father. He's a grandfather. And he's going to wrap his arms around you. He's going to lift your head and wipe the tears from your eye. And with forgiveness in his voice, he says, my daughter, my son, I love you. Not because of what you do, but because of who you are. I made you. So if you're ready to come home to Father this morning, whether you're watching online or television or in this room, this is a solemn moment. On this Father's Day, to come home to the grandest of fathers. Not a replica of your earthly father who was broken and said and did stupid things, but the best of fathers who runs and takes on disgrace so that you could be protected. If that's you this morning, just lift your hand to heaven. Yeah. You can put it back down. How brave. How brave of you. How brave of you. And right now, the Father's running to you, is wrapping his arms around. With forgiveness in his voice, says, I love you. And he says, welcome home. Let's try this again. Wow. Some of you maybe have wandered away from home. Maybe you haven't totally and completely rejected the love of the Father, but you're out doing some stuff, saying some stuff, being, going, doing. That if Dad knew about that, you knew he wouldn't be happy. Well, here's the surprise. He already knows. So why not just come clean? Say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please help me. And he will. He will. He'll help you. If that's you this morning, just lift your hand to heaven. Here I am, Jesus. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. You put your hand down. See, this is where Christianity gets real, right here. We can shout and we can dance and we can sing a hallelujah. But when we get a hold of how grand he is, can't help but praise him. Can't help but love him. So my prayer for you is you have a revelation that you have a very grand father. The great, 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 grand father. And he loves you with an everlasting love. Would you stand with me this morning, please? I want to pray a blessing over you. If you're here with a family member or a friend, you feel comfortable just reaching over, taking their hand. We're all part of the family. And sometimes there's an old hymn that says, prone to wonder, prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it, prone to wonder. But he welcomes us home, doesn't he? And so, Father, we stand with ones we love. We think about those in a distant land or in another town. We think about them. We lift them to you. We stand together as family, reunited in the shadow of the cross. Thank you for brothers and sisters who help hold us accountable and who rejoice with us when we come home. Not with a bad attitude, but rejoice. They join the celebration the day that God ran. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, and may he be gracious unto you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the great, great, great grandfather, the Son, Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If today's message encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. Stay up to date with new messages by becoming a subscriber today. To find events taking place or to give to Destiny Church, visit us at destiny217.org. At Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships.